for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
This tape is the Friday evening service of April the 9th, 1982, Spring Deliverance Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds in Hot Springs. Win Worley is the teacher of the evening. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
You see, the demons are always saying, we're going to kill you, we're going to kill you. I've heard that so many times. I used to get excited. I'd say, are you sure? And they say, yes. I said, when did you plan to kill me? They said, tonight. I said, oh, praise the Lord. I'll tell Jesus you helped me get there. I'm going to get to heaven. And all I ever got was a cussing. I'm still here. You see, they can't do everything they want to do, friend. But if we'll walk with Jesus, you'll be immortal till the day God calls you home. Did you know that? And when He calls you home, you see, when you step through death doorway, that's graduation. You never dread graduation. You look forward to it. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, we had earlier this year, my assistant pastor and I had a trip planned to Costa Rica and the Dominican Republic. We were swinging down through there, and we were to leave on Monday. On Saturday morning, one of the ladies, one of the families in our church, young family, a lady called me at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, and they had waked up and found their 11-and-a-half-month-old baby dead in bed. And they had another boy about 2-and-a-half. And she called me, and of course it was a shock, and I said, we'll be right over. While my wife was running around getting dressed, I picked up the phone directory of the church and began to call the members and put them on the prayer line. And I called my assistant pastor, who was about 10 blocks from him, and he said, I'll go right over. And so when we got there, Mike had already come in first, and he slipped over to one side and he said, Brother Willis, that's the most amazing thing I ever saw. I said, when I got here, I said, Shirley and Noel were going through the house with their hands up praising the Lord for taking Zachary home. That they knew where he was, and they were just, the tears were streaming down their eyes, but they were happy. They were praising the Lord. And they told me, they said, it hurts, but there's peace inside. I thought, my God, if deliverance can do this for people. I didn't know you could be like that, losing a baby, did you? And then, this is Saturday morning now. And so we walked around and got the baby to the funeral home. It was still in the house. Now it was laying in the crib in there, and they were walking through the house, praising Jesus, praising Jesus. You know, it takes something. I thought to myself, oh my Lord, what breed of Christians are we raising that they can believe God so completely? You know, I've been preaching this a long time, but you know, it's different when you put it in practice, isn't it? And here I saw this precious young family putting it in practice. And the mother, with tears streamed down her face, she hugged me and she said, oh, Brother Worley, said, it hurts, but oh, there's such peace. Oh, there's such peace. I can't explain the peace that I feel. And she said, already, said, nobody had to tell us, said, the church has swung in under us with prayer. So we just felt the lift. Just as soon as the phone calls went out all over, just like lightning, and the prayer alert went out, and the folks immediately went to war, binding and loosing. And loosing spirits of peace and joy and everything else on those people. And you can't believe the way it was. It was different from anything I've ever been through in my life. For some reason, I felt like I ought to share this before the message. I pulled the father over to one side when we were going over to the funeral home, and I said, I was going over with him, and I said, Noel, I said, I've already talked to Mike. We're going to cancel the first leg of our journey. We're going to be gone 2 weeks. And I said, we're going to drop Costa Rica, and we'll just go to the Dominican Republic the second week instead. He turned and looked at me and he said, well, you're not going to do it. I said, no, we're not going to go off and leave you and Shirley here after this has happened. We feel a need to be here. He looked at me, so he said, when? He said, this is all out war. I said, no way are you canceling that trip. You and Mike are going. And you know something? We got with the funeral director and he said, who happened to be a Christian, a fine Christian man. And he said, now, Noel, we'll do anything you want. What do you want? He said, okay, I don't want a funeral. The mother and I have talked about it. We don't want a funeral. We don't want to wait. We don't even want a burial service. What we want is a memorial service for our baby. And he said, all right. He said, do you want to have it here? Or where do you want to have it? He said, oh, no, we're going to have it at the church. He said, the church is our family. And said, we need our family around us in a time like this. And so I said, okay, no. I said, when do you want to have it? Because he's telling me we had to leave Monday morning to go down in the Caribbean. He said, no way, you're canceling that trip. I said, do you want Sunday morning or you want Sunday night? Now, this is Saturday afternoon. He said, well, he said, my parents have to come in flying from Tennessee, so we better have it Sunday night. They can get here by then. So that's what we said. I said, okay, you've got the Sunday night service. We'll sweep everything to the side, and we'll go into the memorial service. And it was the most amazing thing you ever saw. Things were really happening fast, as you can imagine. From 8 o'clock Saturday morning, and by 6 o'clock Sunday night, we were rolling into the memorial service. We did it just like the mother and daddy wanted it. They wanted us to have the regular song service. So the first song was at their request. We kicked into the whole congregation singing from the bottom of their hearts. The turtle dove is singing, sweet song of morning. The leaves on the trees, it's beginning to rain. And it just swept so sweet, the rain song. Then we followed it with a whole bunch of others, just like we always sing. Though the host of hell prevail. We did all the ones they requested. I did several with a trio that we have there. And I'm telling you, it was just such an uplift. They wanted testimonies. We always have testimonies in our service. And we have a mic, a boom mic that goes to everybody so everybody can hear. So we had testimonies. The father got up and gave a testimony in the middle of the thing. And then I was supposed to give the memorial thing. I'd never even been to a memorial service in my life. I knew they had them, but I never had been to one. That Sunday afternoon, I said, Lord, for goodness sake, give me something to say. What are you supposed to do? I never was even at one. And I think third funeral I ever went to, I had to preach when I started out as a young preacher. And so, Lord, I was trying to get something from the Lord, and everything I got just went. And I said, okay, Lord, we're just going to walk up there, and whatever you say, that's what we'll do. And I don't know how it came out, but they had those Roman Catholic grandparents there, Roman Catholic sister-in-laws, sitting there, and I was coming down the line with, I'm so thankful we know where Zachary is. He's with Jesus. I was giving him the scripture, and I said, thank God we don't have to worry about limbo or purgatory. There's no such thing. And Shirley, the mother's sister, leaned forward to her. She's sitting right behind her. They were sitting on the front bench waving their hands in there, praising the Lord through all the service. And she leaned forward to her sister, and she said, her sister, a Catholic sister, leaned forward and said, is that right? And she said, well, of course. There's no such place. That poor sister didn't know, but she found out. And the plan of salvation just came rolling out. Both sets of grandparents were lost. I just wanted to mention it to you that it really taught me a lesson. After all these years in deliverance, we've seen a tremendous thing take place in that God has changed the whole view around toward death and loss and this sort of thing. So for some reason, I wanted to share that with you, so it helps you fine. If it worries you, good. Now, tonight, I want to share with you about the scribes and Pharisees. Let me mention this, so I think I mentioned it the first night, but lest I didn't, let me drive it home, because we are supposed to function as believers doing the works of Jesus. That's our job. Now, there's a lot of so-called ministries running around the country. Notice heavy emphasis on so-called. They do a lot of strange things. Everything, you check this out in Scripture, in the Gospels, read them carefully. Everything that Jesus did could be taught to His disciples or could be imparted to them. Let me say it again. Everything Jesus did could be taught to His disciples or could be imparted to them. These one-of-a-kind, strange, weirdo things, be careful. Many of them have been found to be coming from the other side. That's why they're so different. One thing I like about deliverance is absolutely everybody can do it. I mean, it's just open season. I even had some people get mad at me one place where I was. I went to a great big church. I won't mention where it was because you know all about it. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. I got pulled out of the audience. I mean, that was a sovereign act of God because I'd never even met the man before. And he called me out of the audience and said, the Lord said for you to bring the message. And I didn't know that here was 1,500 people staring me in the face. And here I come from Podunk Junction, you know. And I mean, I had a little bitty church. Still do. Anyway, he stuck me up there and I said, well, what do you want me to speak about? He said, anything the Lord tells you. That's really what I wanted to know. And I couldn't think of hardly anything to say. But a little over an hour later, with the people hollering and jumping and clapping and shouting and everything else, we swung into deliverance full steam. And I was there at 1:30 or 2 in the morning praying for people. I had more fun. You know, you get in an unworked field, it's just, you know, just so many of them, you know. Just throw them out here and just throw them out there. And it's just lots of fun. And but I noticed that when I was preaching, I was telling, all I did was just tell them what happened in Hagwish. How God had taken a small, little insignificant speck of a church, and how he had loaded them with an unbelievable ministry, and how we just moved on trying to follow the Lord, and the stupendous things God had wrought. And how that every single believer, without exception, I just kept driving that home, every believer can be a deliverance worker. Well, that crowd got steamed up. They got excited. I've never seen a bunch so excited. They'd clap, and they'd run, and they'd holler. They really got excited about it. Well, I was just a mite excited myself. And but anyhow, I noticed that in that congregation, there was a couple of old biddies, a couple of old ladies, and an old gentleman or two, older fellas, and this kind of scared. I happened to notice them because they looked so different from the rest of the folks. The other folks saying, "Yeah, praise the Lord, hallelujah," just smiling. This bunch was sitting there like this. Well, I kind of wondered what it was they was objecting to, so I got to kind of giving them an eye once in a while, see what it was upsetting them so. And every time I'd come down the trail and say, "You can be a deliverance worker. Everybody can deliver people." You know what I found out later? They were the deliverance workers in the church. I was poaching on their preserve. Why, they had people convinced, you know, that it was something mysterious. And they would take people off in the back room. And if somebody came up and said, "Could we go along and help?" "Oh, no. It's so dangerous. You have to be prayed up, fasted up." Well, I'll tell you one thing. The way I was knocking blackbirds out of the tree, they hadn't prayed up or fasted up too much. There sure wasn't any shortage of demons around that place. But at any rate, they were objecting, and I found people sometimes object because they don't like the idea of everybody being a candidate to work. Well, I don't like the idea of the clergy and the layman. I think if I was a layman, I'd just lay down on the seat and go to sleep. There's no such. There are God-called leaders, God-appointed, and you can spot them. The devil appointed quite a few himself. You can spot those too, if you know the marks. They love money. That's one of their marks. You can spot them in a hurry. They have dollar signs for eyeballs. They're cash registers. They look out over a crowd and ding, ding, ding. They can smile on camera. You get them off camera, you know. Well, I might get to meddling if I stayed over there too long. Let's go instead to a happy subject. Matthew 23, the scribes and the Pharisees. And I heard there wasn't any of them around here, so we'll just work them over good. Matthew 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you to observe, that observe and do. But do ye not, or do not ye, after their works, for they say and do not." What he's simply saying is, the Pharisees, of course, were the most moral people in Jesus' day. You knew that, didn't you? On the outside, they were as clean as a whistle. If you saw them walking down the road, you'd say, righteous. They were so righteous, they squeaked when they walked. They just scrubbed so nice and clean. They observed every jot and tittle. In order to be a Pharisee, you had to know most of the Old Testament, large portions of it by heart. You had to be 30 years old. You had to be married. That's one reason we know Paul was married. You had to have an exemplary life, not for just a few months, but for years they watched you. No moral lapses, no moral slips in order to be a Pharisee. It was quite a position. You couldn't be on the Sanhedrin unless you were a Pharisee. And to be on the Sanhedrin, you had to be a Pharisee of the Pharisees. That is, you had to be a top honcho among the top honchos. Now, the Pharisees were the fundamentalists of their day. They were the fighting fundies. I mean, they'd fight you over a split infinitive in the Scriptures. They were really exact. Everything in the Scriptures had to be just like that. They did have a few problems. In Jesus' day, when this was written, the Old Testament, of course, was written in Hebrew. Well, some real smart people got together and decided, you know, the Bible is kind of hard to read the way it is. And so they got together and they worked and worked and wrote, and they wrote a commentary on the Old Testament, which was a book explaining what the Old Testament was saying. You never heard of commentary, did you? Then somebody read the commentary and they said, well, you know, that's still pretty hard to understand for ordinary people. So they wrote a commentary on the commentary. You know, when you get to a commentary on the commentary, you're getting pretty far from the source, aren't you? Now, this is where Jesus and the Pharisees locked horns. Many of these things that they were quoting and jumping all over him and his disciples about, what came out of that commentary are the commentary on the commentary. And they were claiming this had the force of the Scriptures. He was saying, not so. Let's go back to the Scripture. This is, you'll understand why he was clashing with them. Because they were quoting tradition. Remember, he said, you've made the traditions equal to Scripture. And that's where he knocked heads with them. Now, the Pharisees were very exact, getting everything right and by the rules. They had a rule book that wouldn't quit. They had a rule for everything. And they kept those rules themselves. Give them credit for that. They were very religious. They had some little problems on the inside. They dressed a certain way, so that when you saw them, you knew they were religious. Did you ever see somebody that you knew they were religious, the way they dressed? We live up in an area where the biggest Baptist church in the world is. I won't name it, but I went to school with a pastor over here in Marshall, Texas. He didn't used to be a doctor then. He's got doctored since then. He's no more a doctor than this pulpit, but I mean, he's got the title. Funny thing is, he used to fight that all the time, these doctors, you know, titles. Oh, well. Anyhow, it's kind of funny. They got this humongous church. You know, you can go in a restaurant anywhere in the area, and you walk in, and you say, oh, there's some people from First Baptist. They all look alike. They really do. They look alike. They have a look about them. The fellas and the girls, all they look alike. If they're from the college, you can spot them. And we think it's fun. We go in, you know. Of course, my ragtag bunch, you couldn't spot them at all. You might think they came out of Pacific Garden Mission or something. You can't ever tell. But you walk into a restaurant, and it's amazing. You'll see a group of people sitting around, and you just look at them, and you know they're from Miles Anderson. Oops, I said it. You get up close to the table, you know, and sure enough, when they start talking, that's where they're from. They'll almost win you the Lord before you can get out the door. I mean, they'll tackle you almost. They're not satisfied to witness. They're going to put it down your throat force feed. You might pray. There's just a little aside to pray about. This is kind of funny. One of the fellows in my church is a personnel manager at a small steel fabricating plant. Well, as a consequence, he's been able to, he hires a lot of Christian fellows. He just finds their applications more desirable. And he says, besides that, they're better workers than the others. So he's hired a whole slew of them, I think. He's hired a bunch of our boys. And also, Jack found out that they had a Christian personnel manager there. So he got up and announced it. And so all his preacher boys came in applying for jobs. And he hired a bunch of them, too. Now, that's the funniest thing. Because, see, they're Baptist, and we're Baptist. And they keep telling my boys, you're not Baptist. They say, yes, we are. We're more Baptist than you are. We believe everything you do, plus. You'd be surprised. They drag one in every once in a while to come and take a look. They usually go out all startled. I don't know why. We just have ordinary type services. But I see people every once in a while get all bent out of joint. Glenn, we've even made inroads into one of the Black Oneness churches down in Chicago. My lands, we got a whole row of them. They came. No, we got those spirits out of them. And it's the funniest thing because they go back and try to share all these neat things with their friends, and the preacher got all upset. And so he told them blah, 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 you know, and they said, we've got spirits in our people. The first lady that came out there, she came to bring her mother. And she's a little old bitty slip of a woman, and she tells about it. It's so funny because she came because her mother wanted to come. Her mother kept saying, I have demons. I heard about this church out there. And they live in Chicago on a project. She said, I want you to take me out there. And she kept fussing. Well, Laura knew she didn't have any because she was well nigh perfect. You know, I mean, she's sanctified. And she's you know, she's doing real fine. She's a choir director and everything. And so she thought maybe her mama probably had some. So she said, okay, I'll take you out there. And she knew she didn't have any, but about the time we started the invitation, well, her mother said, I've got to go to the washroom. So she got up and went out, and then we started the invitation. Well, there's so many people coming at our church, it looks like you say, well, everybody move into the aisle and come forward when we have the invitation, because so many people come for prayer. And so she thought, oh, my land, she'll never get prayed for, because, see, she didn't understand how our church worked either. You know, because she saw me up there, and she saw my assistant pastor and a couple other fellows assigning workers, and she thought we were going to do all the praying. She didn't know the whole church was the reservoir of workers. And so she run and got in line to hold a place for her mother so she wouldn't get left out. You'd have to hear her tell it to know how funny it is. She said she kept moving up. She kept looking back, you know, and her mother, and that line was moving real fast because we were just assigning workers, you know, and I just assigning there. And she said, all of a sudden, here she was right in front of me, you know, and said, Brother Ward looked at me and said, do you need prayer? And she said, yeah, I do have a little problem with nervousness every once in a while. She thought, well, that'd be all right. Prayer for that, you know. And so he said, okay. And said he flagged the lady and said he flagged Marge and said, Marge, can you pray this lady? She said she has trouble. No. Okay, Brother Ward, no problem. She took her over there and she said she was sitting there and the lady started praying. Of course, she didn't expect anything too much. She was just sitting there. She didn't have any demons. These other funny people might have, but not her. And so all of a sudden, a man's voice spoke up and said, no, I will not come out. And she looked and said, where'd that come from? And she said, my lands, that was just the beginning. Said, those things just came out of me by the scabs, and I didn't know I had those things. And she came to me after, and she said, Brother Worley, said, my whole church has got a bunch of those things. I said, well, tell your preacher, I'll be glad to help him come over and help him get started on them. I think she went and told him. But anyway, we have a lot of fun, and praise the Lord. Well, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were very righteous people on the outside. And as a matter of fact, religiously, they were producing a product that looked a lot like the real thing. They were very scrupulous in their dealings. They kept everything exactly the way it should be on the books. And it looked like the real thing if you didn't know what the real thing was. And that's one reason Jesus struck so hard at them, to expose the fact that inside was nothing. It was all a religious facade. It was all external. And so when he comes to them to talk to the people about the scribes and Pharisees, the scribes could read. The Pharisees were the ones who were the interpreters of the law. And he said, when they read you, he said, they're sitting in Moses' seat. That is, they had the scriptures, the Old Testament. And they read the scriptures and they taught them to the people. He said, when they, because they're sitting in that position and they're reading you what the scriptures say, you listen to them and do what the scriptures say. Don't do like they do, because they say and they do not. That sounds like James, doesn't it? You be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. All right. Now then, he said, all therefore whatsoever they bid you to observe, observe and do, but do you not after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. The first charge he levels against them is religious slavery. They bind heavy burdens on people. Have you run across people laboring under heavy burdens? Some of them are carrying a stack of pledge cards on their shoulder. Some of them got Sunday school pens weighting them down. They got all kinds of religious doodads hanging around. They've got to go to this meeting and that meeting and the other meeting. They're on the run all the time. And they're just, you know, I wonder sometimes if preachers, some preachers, the way they schedule their services, they don't think that Blessed are they that run in circles, for they shall be called big wheels. Because they just, you know, they're just constantly circling. They don't get anywhere. Just activity, activity, activity with no purpose. Nothing wrong with activity. It should have a definite purpose. It should be doing the works of Jesus. Now, when you go to these churches, you will pick up their spirits. We're susceptible to those, and we do pick up those spirits. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I command the spirits of religious slavery to come out of the people right now. Wherever you are, move. Come out now in Jesus' name. Move. Come on. Religious slavery that binds burdens on people and will not lift a finger to help. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Move. Loose the people wherever you are. Let them go. Religious slavery, religious bondage. Come out of there. All spirits of religious bondage coming from churches, from schools, and from teachers that teach religious bondage. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come on. Out in the name of Jesus. Move. You loose the people and let them go. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. Keep coming out in Jesus' name. Just keep moving. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. That was a trim on their garment. They enlarge the borders of their garments so that you can see how religious they are. And they love the uppermost rooms at feasts, the chief seats in the synagogue. All you spirits of religious externality, come out of there in Jesus' name. Put on religious facade. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, you spirits that cause people to think that the essence of walking with Jesus is to put on a religious front and to be religious. Come out of there. For you religious spirits that came out of the churches, come on. Get out of them in Jesus' name. Move. Loose the people. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Spirits that would deceive the people into externalities and forget the heart of the matter. They love to have the uppermost rooms at feasts, chief seats in the synagogue, and greetings in the markets, to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all your brethren. And call no man your father upon earth. I'll declare it does say that, doesn't it? For one is your father which is in heaven. Of course, I always had a little problem with calling an unmarried man father. If he is, there's something wrong. And if he's not, he doesn't deserve the title. But religious things cause the teaching of religion as an end in itself. As an end in itself. Now, it talks about they like to have the uppermost rooms in the feast. Now, when they had a feast, if you were having a feast here, you would have several levels here. You'd have an upper level up here, and there'd be a table up here, and that'd be where the guests of honor are. Then you'd have a next lower section, and that'd be the next most important people. And then the common people would be out there. And he said they love to have the uppermost place. They want to run up front and be on the platform. You know, I go to places a lot of time. I have a lot of trouble. Places I go, I hate sitting on the platform. You may notice I sit over here. And I go places, you know, where they'll say, all the pastors come to the platform. What on earth for? I always hate to go to a place like that because if I came to hear a message, I didn't want to be sitting behind the speaker. I mean, if he's lying, I wanted to look him in the eye when he did it. I didn't want to, you know. And I never did like to sit on the platform then. And I'm not stepping on anybody's toe, I hope. But anyway, that's just one of my peculiarities. I got several. I go places, you know, and they want to haul you up on the platform. And the preacher will be going berserk. Where's the preacher? Where is he? Where'd Brother Werner go? Oh, there he is over there, you know. I'm right under his nose. He just didn't see me over there, you know. But these people love the uppermost seats. They wanted to get up where they could be seen. And then they could look out over the common people. You know, and nod to some, favor them with a nod, you know, from their august position. Isn't that sickening? Did you know that sort of thing hadn't died out? Are you aware of that? You know, you still got it in churches, a lot of them, you know. You got the offices. You got the titles. Haven't you? You know, our church is peculiar in a lot of ways, I guess. I thought it was all right, but other people say it's kind of strange. We don't even have a committee. I thought we'd appoint some, but we never got around to it. All the work was being done so well and so efficiently, I didn't see any use in clutter the machinery. I never thought too much about it until we'd hired some people to come in and fix our lower auditorium, put drop ceiling in it for us. We contracted with them, and they happened to be from some very religious, churchy folks and from the Christian Reformed churches, which are Dutch Presbyterian. Very, very proper. And they were down in the basement of that strange Baptist church, and They'd already walked through our auditorium and looked her over, you know, solid scripture, wall to wall. Looked a little odd. But then they went on downstairs, and something came up, and I was there, and the man who's in charge, he came up and he said to Pastor Worley, he said, could we talk to the chairman of the building committee? I said, chairman of the building committee? What do you need? Well, we have a question about something down here. I said, oh, well, we don't. Well, first he asked one of my men that's working in the building. He said, building committee? Chairman? I don't know. I don't know whether we got one or not. Let me go ask Pastor. So he came in and said, this man looking for the chairman of the building committee. And then I realized we didn't have any building committee. Here we'd been running all these years without a building committee. I said, maybe I could help you. As a matter of fact, I could. But, you know, we don't have any committees. You don't have any committees? I said, no, we haven't found any need for them yet. I said, I thought we'd appoint some if we ever needed them. So far, we haven't needed any. And I smiled, and he smiled, and went out. So I thought I'd aggravate him a little more, and I went down and struck up a conversation. I said, you know, we don't use any Sunday school rooms for Sunday school either. We don't have any Sunday school. No Sunday school? Where do your kids learn the Bible? I said, the same place the Bible says they should, at home. And in church, right alongside their people. They had lots to think about trying. They left that funny place. But the good thing was, you see, our church is out of debt, and theirs is in debt. Maybe their committees aren't working too well. By the way, if you ever come through our way and you've never had the privilege of walking through a debt-free church, there's not many of them around, I understand. It's kind of like scarce as dinosaurs. There's just not many around. You can come walk through ours. It's such a good feeling. It's all paid for. Don't owe anybody but Jesus. We owe him the whole shooting match. It all belongs to him. Isn't that wonderful? And I say that to his glory. He paid it off so we could concentrate on business. So we have just normal everyday services. We sing, testify, I preach. Then we have kicking, screaming, hollering, fighting. That's our order of service. 3 times a week we do that. If I happen to be out of town, one of my boys preaches, and they have the same thing, kicking, screaming, hollering, fighting, same thing. I have to check in every once in a while and preach over there because I've got to, you don't tell them. They don't think they can get along without me. If I can't miss too long, they might find out that church operates just as well when I'm not there as it does when I'm there. Praise the Lord. They go right on praying. They got right on casting out demons. Everything. It's the funniest church I ever saw. My mother worries about it, bless her heart. She goes to a Baptist church over in Tyler. A real one. She worries. Every time I see her, just about, she'll say, son, I said, how can you're just gone so much. How can you be gone from your church so much? I said, well, Mama, our church is not exactly like yours. It doesn't revolve around me. I said, I'm the pastor. She said, well, you couldn't possibly pastor that church. You're gone all the time. I said, you never convinced my folks of that. Don't you go tell them either. As a matter of fact, you see, what's happened, the church has a vision of something bigger than just a single church. They believe that what God has shown us should be shared with the whole body of Christ. And when I go out, they don't sit at home and say, well, our preacher is never home. If I wanted to call him, I couldn't get a hold of him. My hangnail's acting up. As a matter of fact, they go to the hospital, and I don't even, very seldom, we thank the Lord, we don't have too much of that once in a while, and I usually don't know anything about it until it's all over. And I said, well, why do you call me? Well, no, I called a couple of members. We took care of it, no problem. I get worried about them sometimes. You know, they just sometimes act like I'm not even around. Isn't that wonderful? They said, we'd have called you if something really important came up. We couldn't get a handle. I think that's wonderful. Shouldn't believers be able to minister one to another? Oh, listen. I wouldn't trade mine for anything. I wouldn't trade the last 11 years of my ministry for the other. I've been pastoring over 35 years now. But I tell you, it's been glorious. Praise the Lord. But if you love the uppermost rooms at the feast, and you want to be the chief seats in the synagogue, want to be the not just on the synagogue, but the chief seats, that's so everybody will recognize you and bow as they go past you, huh? I tried to get my folks to do that, and they won't do it. I'll tell them, I said, now when you pass my office, you should sort of bow your head in respect. You know what they do? Hi, Wynn. Where you been? We've been busy. Where you been? They don't, you know, they just act like I'm an ordinary person. Isn't that terrible? Tell you something. Those folks running down there calling me Wynn have a lot more respect for me than some of these people call me up, "Are you Reverend Worley?" It's not what they call you, friend. It's what they love you.
Yeah.
And you talk about soul ties. We got them. They've knocked everything out over Hot Springs, Arkansas. I mean, they just knocked the living hound out of this. Because, you know why? Because I was coming here. And they mounted the offensive in the heavenlies, took care of everything overhead. And they do that everywhere I go. Because, you see, to them, this is an extension of Hegwisch's ministry. This is an opportunity they have to join in to be a blessing to people they've never even seen. They won't even see a lot of you till they get to heaven. And then you'll know who had a part in you getting free. See, they've caught a glimpse of something bigger than just a little, you know, just me and my wife, my son John, his wife, just us four, no more. That's the kind of circle most people revolve in, isn't it? You can get a broader vision than that. You don't have to go across the seas to be a missionary. You just have to go outside of yourself. The man wrapped up in himself makes a very small bundle. So get out and begin to flow out for others. I told you this morning that you can pour your soul into others. That won't run you dry, by the way. When you do it for Jesus, you don't get the counterfeit in return. He just builds you up. You're just edified. And you know, that's what he meant when he said, "Give and it shall be given to you." I mean, you pour your mind, or your mind, will, and emotions into other people in service for Jesus to help them get on their feet spiritually, and God will just build you up. You'll never run out. What are you saving yourself for anyway? For old age? My, my, my. How pitiful if you saved everything till you got old and then you didn't have anything. You're just burning up daylight for nothing? Or are you going to get into the battle and do something worthwhile?
He said, "Well, I'm afraid the demons will fight me."
They sure will. They're going to fight you anyway. And if they're going to kick me around anyway, I'm going to give them a nod or two. Amen? I'm going to get you stirred up and whop them on the head. You say, "Well, I don't know whether I'm old enough to get in the battle." Listen, when Mike and I went down to the Dominican Republic, second time we went down there, we got some real fighters down there. Oh, those Dominicans made real tigers. They went after those demons like crazy. Well, it did kind of ruin some of them's religion the first time I went down there. They were leaders in the charismatic Catholic group in the islands. They were teaching all the Bible classes and everything. They'd already gone out and baptized each other in the ocean because they didn't like the baptism. They'd gotten saved, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I came in and dropped deliverance in the pot. And, well, of course, the Catholic Church has forbidden any deliverance to be done in the Dominican Republic, so I went as a tourist. Being bored with tourism, I found more interesting things to do. And so we had a time. But the second time we went down there, the group came again. We had three groups in. There's three deliverance groups on the island now, moving and attacking the enemy. Praise the Lord. They've translated the battling, conquering, and demolishing into Spanish put on tapes. They're passing around the island. As a matter of fact, tape 120, that mass deliverance tape that delivered so many people, a lady took that down there. It was in English, and she was translating my tapes into Spanish for the Dominicans. And she hadn't got a chance to translate that one. She said, "Well, I just want them to hear the demons anyway, so I'm just going to play it for you." Not one person in that, except her in that room, spoke English. Had a whole room full of Dominicans, 20 or 30 of them. She played that tape. They went into wild deliverance, the demons screaming. The demons understood English. The people didn't. And they started coming out of the people. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. See, God's going to get his people free one way or the other. That just told me again, God wants his people free. When we went down there, we bumped into two little old ladies, 80 and 81, something like that. It was little old ladies. They came out to the meeting, and they were talking to us through an interpreter. Come to find out, they'd taken the warfare prayers down there, Dr. Hager's warfare prayers, translated them into Spanish, and those Dominicans been slugging into the enemy every day. And these little old ladies, they said, "We've been doing it every day." And here are these two little 80-year-old women. Boy, they're bang! They're shooting into the heavenlies every day in Spanish. They're knocking the daylights out of those things. Isn't that great? I find that exciting. And there are 40, 50,000 copies of that thing out all over the country. And up into Canada, they got the Canadian brigade is hitting up there, too. It's spreading. You know what the demons have said? I enjoy telling this. I got a hold of one time, and he said, he's a big, high honcho. He said, "Worley," he said, "you and Haggard have got to stop that binding and loosing stuff." Said, "That's the deadliest thing that's come along." Said, "That's dangerous doctrine." I said, "Is it really?"
I said, I find it refreshing. He said, well, you would, the way you are. You're crazy. I said, well, what's the matter? And he said, well, you stupid fool. Said, you idiot. Said, you don't know what you're doing. I said, well, no, we don't exactly see everything, but we just take it by faith. It's knocking the daylights out of things. He said, shut your mouth. Said, you idiot. He said, the king over the United States is bound. Said, every day, those stupid people all across the country said, I can't believe it. Said, we tell them that you and Haggard are absolute idiots and insane not to listen to you. And said, those stupid tapes and those books. Said, it's just absolute unbelievable. I can't believe it's happening. And said, that goes everywhere, and those stupid people believe you. Said, if they just wouldn't believe you, it'd be all right. But said, they believe you. And said, every morning those idiots get up. Every morning they send legions and legions of angels against us. Said, you fools. Said, don't you know those angels hate us? Said, they chase us. Said, we haven't had this much trouble in centuries. Said, it's absolutely incredible. Said, I can't believe these dumb people. Said, they're stupid and they're ignorant. How dare them do this? Sounds like you've been doing a good job. But you know what else he told me? He said, the princes over the Illuminati are being bound every day. Said, there are legions of angels coming against them and binding and gagging and everything. Said, it's coming from every direction. And said, the whole heavenly network is in an uproar. Said, the communication lines are chopped. Said, those idiots come in every day and chop down. We repair the damage, and then they come in and chop, chop, chop. The next day, they're after us again. And said, the communication lines are down. And said, already, these stupid dupes down here on Earth are making terrible blunders in the Illuminati plans because they can't get directions straight from the principalities overhead. And said, it's all your fault. Keep at it, people. We're making headway. We're not there yet, but we're making headway. So just about time you get thing, well, I don't think it does any good to go through these stupid prayers. And the devil said, that's right, why don't you quit? Throw legions upon legions against the enemy every day. It's tearing him up. Stay at it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, how did I get way over there? All right. To be seen of men. All right, all you spirits that cause people to want to be seen of men and to vie with ambition, religious ambition, for position and power. Come out of the people right now in Jesus' name. Come out of them right now. Come on. Spirits that would cause people to climb religious ladders trying to rise above their fellows. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Spirits that would keep people from having a servant's heart. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Pride and ambition. Come on. Religious pride, religious ambition, striving for religious recognition. Come out in Jesus' name. Religious recognition. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Now he says, don't be called masters. One is your master, even Christ. He that is greatest among you shall be the one who is served the most. Is that what yours says? Somebody's shaking your head. Yours doesn't say that? Yeah, it says right there, you know. He that would be greatest among you shall be the one. Oh, it doesn't say that, does it? Shall be the what? The servant. Ooh. I thought that if people waited on you, that meant you were great. That's the way the world counts greatness, isn't it? Isn't it? But you know what Jesus said? He said, the greatest among you, the one who's greatest, will be the one who serves the most. Now, if you want to be ambitious about something, you start learning how to be a servant. I mean, you learn how to do the dirty jobs, the unwanted jobs. There are a lot of them laying around. There are a lot of people who want to get up in the spotlight. There are not many who want to sweep the floor. Nobody wants to be the janitor. Nobody wants to do the dirty dishes. Nobody'd ever see that I did them. Never heard about doing it for the glory of the Lord, huh? One of the things that has helped our church to grow and be unified is the fact that many of the people have caught a vision of having a servant's heart. And when they dust that furniture in preparation of those workshops, they go over that place and it just shines. Every floor has to be polished, bright, and shiny. Why? Because our people, our friends are coming in. We want it to be, everything to be right. They paint, they dust. And they pray that the Lord bless everybody that sits on this seat. Everybody looks out that window will get a blessing. Everybody that comes in here will get delivered. I tell you, that makes a difference in the way you push the paintbrush. Makes a difference in the way you drive nails. Makes a difference in the way you polish and the way you wash. And they get to praying and expecting. By the time the workshop comes, our people are just jumping up and down in anticipation. They can hardly wait. See what God's going to do in answer to prayer. Because God gave us a beautiful facility. They've done their best to get it ready and make everything ready for our people to come. And then they come. And they go out and take the deliverance message all over the country. Praise the Lord. Just like they do from here. They ought to do it from every center. There ought to be centers all across the country where you could take out this message. Get it out. The people need to know. The people want to know. A lot of the preachers don't want to know. But you have to realize they're caught in denominational pens. Did you know that? If they cross the denominational leaders, they'll come down on them, bang. We'll pull your papers. We'll close you out of your church. Then where are you going? Say, well, they ought to stand for the Lord. Well, would you stand with them? See, the people are always saying the preachers ought to stand, but who's going to stand with them when they stand? You say, well, when he gets a building, maybe I'll go over there. And in the meanwhile, I'll just stay where I am. But you want him to stick his neck out, see? That's what it is, people. They got to have somebody to back them up and to stand with them that they're going to be able to stand. Now, some of them are coming out anyway. Praise the Lord for that. But we need to pray for the men of God that are in the pulpits for revelation and wisdom and knowledge to come on them, the spirits of God, and to bind the spirits of fear and cause them to rebel and walk out. A lot of them are doing it. Going to have to. Well, if you want to be great, you're going to have to humble yourself. It says, whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. He that humble himself shall be exalted. Every spirit that would cause people to exalt themselves religiously in order to be above their fellows, come out of the people now in Jesus' name. Come on. Every religious exaltation spirit, vying and vying with people, trying to get on a higher plane for the sake of being seen, come out of there in Jesus' name. Come on. Move. You don't have to be ashamed of having these things, you know. You can pick them up in most churches. They're a dime a carload. And I don't say that gleefully. I just say that sadly. The reason for that is because there's been no real purging of the churches for many, many years. There have been some purgings, but they've always been incomplete. The devil's managed to stop it before it got clean. I'm praying this time we'll see a grand sweep, aren't you? Wouldn't that be glorious? All right. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. All you spirits that would stop you from taking part in spiritual blessings and would block others who want to take part, come out of there in Jesus' name. Religious blockage. Come on. Come out of there. You might call them religious blockheads. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose the people. Let them go. Come on. Spirits that would block off spiritual blessings from themselves and from others. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out. Come on. Move. Loose them. Loose them. Loose them and let them go. Come on. Everyone of them, loose them. Come out of there. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. All right, spirits that cause prayer to be put on parade, prayer and other religious exercises to be done in order to be seen of men. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come on. Move. Move. Come on. Out in the name of Jesus. Move. In the name of Jesus Christ. Loose the people. Let them go. Come on. Out in Jesus' name. Come on. By the blood of Jesus Christ, you must loose the people of God out of the bondage of religion. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass, you circle the sea and the land to make one proselyte. When he's made, you make him twofold more child of hell than yourself. Every spirit that would cause you to be caught into religious proselyting rather than to lead people into the truth of Scripture, come out of the people right now. Religious proselyting, come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on. They teach classes in it, how to get people away from somebody else's church. Come on. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Move. Come on. Yeah. Come on out of there. Loose the people and let them go. Proselyting spirits. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Always running for numbers. Always running for the crowds. Always building everything on how many heads they got to count. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Woe unto you, blind guides, which say you, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it's nothing. Whosoever swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. They really split in hairs. You know, if they wanted to swear an oath, say, well, I'm telling the truth. I swear by the temple. And they say, hey, you said you swore by the temple. Oh, well, and see, I didn't swear by the gold in the temple. That's kind of splitting hairs, isn't it? That's the way they did it. They could swear by the temple, and that was all right. That was just a building. But if they swore by the gold of the temple, they had to tell the truth. You say, well, that's stupid. I know. That's what Jesus is pointing out. All the spirits that would make people swear to lies, come out of there in Jesus' name. Spirits that would cause people to swear and make oaths to lies, come out in Jesus' name. Trying to find ways to tell lies without admitting it, come out of there in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on, religious lies, come out of there. Spirit of religious lying, come out in Jesus' name. Lying for the sake of religion, come out in Jesus' name. Move. Come on out. Come on out in Jesus' name. He says, you're blind. You're fools. He said, which is great, the temple or the gold or the temple that sanctifies it? He said, if you swear by the altar, you swear by everything's on it. He said, don't think you can swear, you can separate it there. Now he says in verse 22, he that swears by heaven swears by the throne of God. I guess we better throw away good heavens, hadn't we? Suppose. He says you're swearing by the throne of God. That's pretty high, isn't it? And by him that sits thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you pay tithes of mint, anise, and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. The paying of the tithes you ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone. He said, you are so careful to pay tithes on little bitty things. Very exact. Look, those little spices he mentioned, they measure them out in little tiny quantities. He said, you're very careful to get the tenth off of that. But said, you've omitted weightier matters of the law, which is judgment, mercy, and faith. All right. You spirits that cause people to major on minor things in religious matters and cause them to miss the weightier matters that are more important to God, come out of the people now. You spirits that would cause people to be blinded to the great things that God wants and would cause them to concentrate on tiny little hair-splitting things. Come out of the people now. Come out of them in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. That's the ones, you know, that come to a deliverance meeting and they get all bent out of shape about some little detail and overlook the entire basic truth. And then they go out and they turn on their radio or their TV and some guy sells them a great big glob of religious garbage, but it's in a pretty package, in surprise package 530. And you can send an offering and get it. And so they just swallow that thing, hook, line, and sinker, pure garbage, and overlook real truth. Now there are spirits that make people do that. It's spirits of religious deception and deceit that deceive people and cause them to overlook the main things and swallow things that are not important. They get choked on a little gnat. And yet you can stick a boxcar down their throat and they don't gag at all if it's full of religious garbage, see? Now, there are demons that make that possible. And yet, if they hear somebody, they'll say, well, I didn't hear Brother Worley, you know, his tie was crooked. I was just so worried about he wore the wrong color tie. I just couldn't get anything out of his message. I sat there and prayed for him to have better taste. Well, I might indeed need a better taste, but if the Scripture is coming forth, the truth is coming forth, grab for the truth and quit straining at gnats, getting caught in little teeny throat ticklers, and find out what God is saying in these days. Amen? All right. All the spirits that would cause people to swallow religious garbage and cause them to gag at real truth, come out in Jesus' name. Come on. Move. Come on out of there. Come on. Move. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come on. Loose the people. The spirits that would cause people to major on externalities and get caught up in little things that don't matter and overlook the weightier things that God is teaching. Come out of the people now in Jesus' name. Loose the people. Come on. Let them go. Come out of there. Come out in Jesus' name. Well, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. He says, on the outside you look perfect. Inside, you're rotten. There are too many people who are too worried about the outside. When we first got into deliverance, you would not believe some of the people who came to see us. Sometimes I think God sent some angels by, and they were sure shabby-looking things when they showed up at our place. I think he sent them by to see how we'd treat them. Some of them looked like refugees out of the Vietnam jungle. I mean, they came in from everywhere. And they came from the coffee houses, from the parks, from the gangs. They just came flooding into the church. And the funny thing was that God just filled us with such love for them, and we just welcomed them, and we weren't concerned how they dressed or anything else. If they wanted to hear the truth, they wanted deliverance, if they wanted help, we were there to help them. And it worked real fine. I remember one time one of the gang leaders came in out of the park over there, and we were in Chicago, and he came in one night, and he came through the door and said, "Hey, man," said, "I heard this is where it's at." If I remember right, one of our guys got him that night. It happened to him that night. Praise the Lord. But the thing is, you can get caught up in externalities, and you can get to the place where you can't see a person in need. Now, we have some places close to us. If you don't cut your hair right, they won't let you in their service. I'm sure when Jesus had those people gather around him, he said, "Go around, boys, and check the length of the hair. We don't want anybody in here who doesn't belong. Might ruin the service." There are a lot of things that matter after a person gets the gospel, after they begin to go into deliverance. And we found out that those things will take care of themselves as they begin to be taught, as they begin to move into the things of the Lord. That's when's the time to minister those things. But if you start slapping the door in their face and say, "You can't even come in where we are. You know, look right. You might mess up our service." Reminds me of the story I heard about, they say that there was a fellow down at the Skid Row. He got saved. And he got gloriously born again. So on Sunday morning, of course, he wasn't dressed too nice. And Sunday morning, he wanted to go to church. So he looked around and he went down to First Baptist Church. I'll pick that one out. And he went down to First Baptist Church, one of the little towns, you know. And he started up the door. And when he got inside, there was an usher there. He looked him over and said, "What do you want?" He said, "Well, I came to church." He said, "Well, I think you better go down the street there, a few blocks. There's one you can go to. I don't think you better come in here. You're not dressed right." Well, he turned and walked out, story goes. And he stood outside and he was crying. It just broke his heart. He wanted to go to church, you know. And this guy wouldn't let him come in. And the story goes, Jesus walked up and said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Well, Lord," said, "I wanted to go in church and worship." And said, "They didn't want me to come in. They wouldn't let me in." He said, "Oh, that's all right. I've been trying to get in there several years myself." There's a lot of churches like that, people. Jesus has been trying to get in. They've got so much religion, there's no room for the Lord. We have to watch that. All of us are susceptible to it. Well, he said, you concentrate on getting the outside of the cup, but you don't worry about the inside. And you forget that the inside's what's really the important thing. You know, when men start cleaning up, they clean the outside first, don't they? When God starts, where does he start? Inside. And after he gets the inside cleaned out, all of a sudden you begin to notice changes on the outside. And that's just evidence that something's happening on the inside. Now, in religious systems, they concentrate on how it looks. And they give you rules and regulations to make everything look right. They're not too concerned about whether it is right, just that it looks right. I mean, you don't want to be an embarrassment to the rest of the bunch, do you? And Jesus said, these people were hypocrites because they were scrubbing the outside when they should have been scrubbing the inside. And he goes on and says, you blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup, platter, and the outside may be clean also. Can you imagine if you were a Pharisee or scribe standing in that audience? How would you have felt? Here's the meek and gentle Jesus just laying it on them. I mean, he put the arm on them. And look at all the people now. The people are standing around, you know. All these people they've looked up to as religious leaders, and they're looking at them, you know. He said, you scribes and Pharisees, you spend all your time polishing the outside. The inside is full of extortion and excess. You see some little lady say, oh! You know, she moves away. That Pharisee said, I've seen that look in some churchy people's faces before, haven't you? If you begin to move in the truth, you'll find out where the churchy people are. Churchy folks don't like this. It bothers them. You say, well, I don't like it. Well, you're churchy. That's a dead giveaway. Something inside you is rebelling against what Jesus is saying. You say, well, are you against churches? No, sir. Everywhere God has, I can read the Bible, he's building a church. But it is the building. It's people. The church are groups, the body of Christ is a church, but there are local expressions of that. But unfortunately, the devil has gotten into a lot of it and killed off a lot of what God wanted done. But I haven't abandoned the church. I still think church is important, the local assembly, but it just needs purging, cleaning up. It needs to get to the place where God wants it to be. And God's going to use everything he can on the outside to get it straightened out. And he'll lead back and get his church cleaned up when it's over. That's what he's always done. Well, he calls them whited sepulchers. He said, you're like tombs full of dead men's bones. Now, remember, he's talking to these real moral people. They were out ready to bite the head off of nails. If they walk away, that's a dead giveaway. If they stand there, he's just going to insult them more. They weren't feeling too kindly toward him about now. I mean, he is just, can you just see their faces turning red? He's going right down reading the riot act to them, right in front of the people. Now, they feared the people. See, the fear of man was one of their big problems. They wanted people's respect. That's why Jesus talked to them, you know, and said, you give your alms. He told them another place. You know how they gave their money? Well, they had a big box by the temple gate. And so they would go to give their money, and many of these Pharisees were well-to-do people. Now, if they were like if they had money like we have today, I'll just put it in dollars. They didn't have that, but like we put it in dollars and cents, if they had $50 to give, they'd change it into quarters and dimes and nickels, and then they'd have a great big sack, you know. And then if they were wealthy enough, they'd have a little boy go ahead of them, a servant boy, and he'd cry in the streets. They'd go, he's all in his white robes now. He's going to church. He's going to the temple. And they say, make way for Brother So-and-so. He's going to the temple to make an offering. Make way. Make way. That's what Jesus meant when he said, you make a cry before you when you go to give your alms. And then they got to the box up there. Now, here's the temple gate. Remember, these people standing around are very, very poor. And everybody's standing watching. And he goes up and he drops the coins in one at a time. Plink. Plink. Well, you know, it'd take a long time to drop that many, wouldn't it? And he looks so pious while he's doing it. You know, he's just so humble, so sweet. And the people say, oh, I wonder how much he gave. Oh, that must have been a bunch. Did you see how long it took him to put it in there? Now, Jesus said, you wanted people to think you were great. You have your reward. They thought you were great. What did God think? No reward in heaven. See, everybody's awake now. No reward in heaven because they got all of it at the box. Now, the Pharisees had another lovely habit. Not all of them did this. All of them were quite this repulsive, but a lot of them were. They would go and they put their white robes on. Now, if they brushed against a Gentile in the street, if they were ceremonially clean, or if they brushed against an unclean Jew, then they had to go home and change clothes. Couldn't go to the temple, dirty. They were very persnickety about that. Well, they had another habit. They'd go in and pick a busy street corner. They'd raise their hands. Oh, Lord! And start praying like that. Top of their lungs. They prayed on the street corners. That's why Jesus said, get in your closet. Not because it's wrong to pray publicly, but it was wrong the way they were doing it. They stand on the street corners and pray so people think they were holy. Say, my lands, boy, isn't he holy? Look at him. He'd been praying on and on and on. That reminds me of another story I heard about the little boy out in the country church. And, you know, in some of the little churches, they usually have the preacher and one other man that can pray, usually an old deacon that's been there a long time. And that's about the only two men in the church that pray. The rest of them beg to be excused if they're there. And so the preacher, a lot of times, he'll start the service and then he'll call on the old deacon to close it. Well, this is one of those little, kind of little churches way out in the woods. And so this old deacon got to praying, and he, every time when he'd get toward the end of his prayer, he'd always say, and Lord, come and sweep the cobwebs out of our life. Well, now, there was a little 10-year-old boy there. And, of course, little 10-year-old boys are very curious. They watch. They listen to a lot of things. And so every Sunday, he'd hear the old deacon pray, Lord, sweep the cobwebs out of our life. Well, he got very interested in that. And he was just thinking real hard. And one Sunday morning when the deacon said, and Lord, sweep the cobwebs out of life. Little boy, before he thought, he just piped up and said, never mind those spider webs, Lord, get that spider. I think sometimes we need to go after the spider instead of sweeping cobwebs all the time. Well, we need to get ourselves in line with the Lord, and the only way we can do that is through the Word of God. And as we move into the position of a servant, ask the Lord to give you a servant's heart. Now, a servant's heart is not a doormat to be walked on by everybody. But a servant's heart will show you where the need is and how you can be used to serve the Lord. And also, you'll get to the place where you would rather serve than to be served. Then you can know you're making progress. You're not there yet, but you're making progress. You say, well, if you get to where you like to serve, haven't you done all you're supposed to? Oh, no. Jesus said, when the servant does what he's supposed to, that's what's expected. Only when he goes beyond that is he to be commended. You see, the trouble is, we're living so far below the standard that when somebody even approaches what they're supposed to be as a servant, we say, oh, super duper Christian. And actually, they're just normal. They're what they're supposed to be. Nothing exceptional. So we have to move in that direction, asking the Lord to show us how to have a servant's heart, to avoid the trap of the scribes and Pharisees. Now, you know, it's just possible we have some other religious spirits here tonight. There are some spirits of Babylon. I come against the spirits of the Babylonian religious in the name of Jesus Christ, spirits of Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz, and all you wicked spirits rooted in through Roman Catholicism, through Freemasons, through Eastern Star, Demolays, Rainbow Girls. I come against you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and I command you to manifest and start coming out. Come out now in Jesus' name. Worship of the Son. Come on, come out of there in Jesus' name. Move, move, move. I come against spirits of Catholic baptism. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Loose the people and let them go. Loose them and let them go. I come against the spirit that came in when the salt was put on the baby's tongue. I come against the spirit that came in when they put oil on the baby and when they put water on the baby and baptized him in the name of Jesus. Come out of the people right now. Come out now in Jesus' name. Come on, move. Loose the people and let them go. Loose them and let them go. I come against every spirit of Mariolatry. Mariolatry, worship of Mary, prayer to Mary, novenas. Come out of the people right now. Mary, Queen of Heaven, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name, you counterfeit of the Virgin Mary in the Bible. Come out of there in Jesus' name. You wicked counterfeit, come out in Jesus' name. Prayers to Mary, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on out. Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Mercedes, come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there. All the spirits of Mariolatry and prayer to Mary, come out of there in Jesus' name. Spirits from the Mass, spirits from the relics and the altars, come out in Jesus' name. Come out of the people right now in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Spirits of the Holy Eucharist, one true church, one holy priesthood, come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose the people and let them go. Spirits of confirmation, the spirits that came into the people when they were given the names of demon saints, come out of the people right now in Jesus' name. Right now. Come out in Jesus' name. Move. Move. Spirits of the Holy Family, come out in Jesus' name. Stations of the cross, come out in Jesus' name. Move. Spirits of the confessional, spirits from the priest, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits from the Pope, come out in Jesus' name. We cut all the soul ties in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Infant of Prague, prayers to the saints, Saint Christopher, Saint Jude, come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. One true church, one holy priesthood. Fear of purgatory, fear of hell, fear of excommunication. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, move. Come out of the people. Let them go. Come on, move. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Dedication to be a nun. Dedication to be a priest. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Loose the people and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. Move. Move. Now, those are just some of the spirits that come from religious things. You'll pick up some in other churches, but you have a big bunch of them in the Babylonian system, because the Babylonian system is one of the oldest. Now, if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to come in your heart, we never know in a crowd this size, some boy or girl, some man or woman, some young person, it may be that you've never really asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart, or maybe you're not sure that you have. Wouldn't you like to? You say, well, I don't know quite what to do. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, if any woman, if any boy or girl, young person, hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. Now, if you've never asked him to come in your heart or you're not sure that you have, you could pray something like this. Lord Jesus, if I've never really asked you in my heart before, I'm asking you here and now, come into my heart and save me from all my sins. Now, if you're not sure about it, you can make sure tonight. You can make sure of salvation, and you ought to do it. Amen? You say, supposing I do that and nothing really happens, then you should come forward, tell me or Glenn or one of the workers up here, I need to talk to somebody about salvation, and let them sit down with the Word of God and get your experience lined up with the Word of God. If that's not your problem, salvation is not your problem, but you are being driven, you're being harassed, you're being tormented, and this is producing compulsive behavior, which is slowing down, stopping, or reversing your spiritual growth and progress, then by all means, you come and seek help and deliverance, because that's the way demons operate in your life. And by all means, come forward. There are workers here. I'm here. Other workers are here who can help you. And if you feel a need for this kind of help, by all means, come and seek help. Now, let's stand up. You've got blood all down in your feet. Let's stand up. Put your hands up in the air like this. Let's get the blood going the other way. Now, doesn't it feel better? Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Make your way toward the front if you need prayer. We'll get workers as soon as we can. Grab one of those chairs over there, would you?
Let's see what we can do, okay? All right, just relax and breathe through your mouth. Just relax. Satan, in the name of Jesus, I come against every spirit of allergy. I break any curse of allergy that may be on her or her family. Back to 10 generations on both sides of the family. And every spirit of allergy now that's in her that causes her to react to food, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I command you to come out. Allergy. Allergies in the sinuses. Allergies in the breathing passages. Allergies in the lungs. In the throat. In the bronchial tubes. Allergies that cause swelling, itching, burning, inflammation, mucus drainage in the sinuses. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Allergies in the bloodstream, in the bone marrow. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. You loose this woman right now. Loose her in Jesus' name. Loose her right now in Jesus' name. Come out of her now. Come on, move. Come out. Come out right now. Move. Allergies. Come out of there. Allergies. Food allergies. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Move. Come out. By the blood. By the blood. By the blood. We're going to need some towels if you can get somebody to get them. Okay? Come on out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Come out. By the blood. By the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. Come out. Allergies. Come on. All the allergy spirits. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Come out of there. Allergies. All you wicked allergy spirit. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on. By the blood. By the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out of her. Let her go free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Glenn. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on out of her. Come on. Come on in Jesus' name. Come out of her in Jesus' name. Come on. By the blood. By the blood of Jesus Christ, you are defeated. Come out of her. Loose her. Come on. Loose her and let her go. Sickness. Hypoglycemia. Come out of there. Hypoglycemia, I curse you in Jesus' name. I command you to come out of her right now in Jesus' name. Move. Come on. Come on. I break every curse of infirmity and sickness on her. If it's witchcraft curses, I destroy those with the blood of Jesus and throw them back on the people who sent them. In the name of Jesus, if she has sickness and infirmity curses on her from the family and weaknesses from the family inheritance, I break those curses on both sides of the family, back 10 generations on both sides of the family. Come out. Come on out of there. Come on, move. Move, move. Hormonal imbalance. Come out of there. Come out of her in Jesus' name. Come on, the spirits that cause her hormones to go out of balance. Come out in Jesus' name. I said to come out in Jesus' name. Loose her. Come out of there. Come out of her in Jesus' name. Move. Come on. Move. Come out of her. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Loose her. You loose her and let her go. Loose her and let her go. Come out of her. You spirits that tear up her digestion. Come out of there. Colitis, you come out. Come out. Colitis, come on. Colitis, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Come out by the blood. By the blood of Jesus. Come out. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Come out. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Come out. In Jesus' name. Loose her. Loose her. Loose her. Come out. Sickness, infirmity, weakness, come out. Come out now. God, incubate, suck you these spirits. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come on. Move, move. Spirits of sex aversion. All sex. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come on, move. Come out of her right now in Jesus' name. Come on, move. Loose her. Incubate, suck you. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, move. Move, move, move. Move. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on. In Jesus' name. Come on.
Come on, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name,
in Jesus' mighty name, loose her and let her go. Come out of her in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name, loose her, come on out of there. Out of the lips, the tongue, the taste buds, out of the throat, come out, come out, come on, out of the lips, the tongue, the taste buds, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way, come on, move.
Move. Come on out of there. Come on. Come on. Move. 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 Line up in the order Jesus wants you to leave and come out. Line up in the order Jesus wants you to leave and come out. Did you hear me? Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on. Come on out. Out. Out in the name of Jesus. Out.
Out in the name of Jesus. Move. Move. Come on. Come on. Come on. Out of the lips, the tongue, the taste buds. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. By the blood. By the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come on. Move. 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 Out in the name of Jesus. Out. Out in the name of Jesus. Come on. By the blood. By the blood. By the blood. Come on. The blood defeats you. Come out. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Now. Now. Move. More. Come on. Move. Move.
Profanity, blasphemy, filthy conversation. Move. Come out of the voice box right now. Come on. Move. 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 Loose the people and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of addiction. Spirit of addiction rooted in rejection. Addiction and craving for food. Gluttony. Addiction to sweets. Addiction and craving for nicotine. Addiction and craving for alcohol. Addiction and craving for drugs. Marijuana. Acid. Speed. Diet pills. Amphetamines. Heroin. Cocaine. Valium. Tranquilizers. Barbiturates. Strychnine. Come on, move. Come out of the people right now. Come on. All the addiction spirits. Come on. You're rooted in rejection. Come out of there. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Move. Keep moving. I break the curses of lust on the people. Back to 10 generations on both sides of the family. Lust, masturbation, guilt, shame, condemnation, burning passions, adultery, fornication, immorality, sex perversion, oral sex, anal sex, sex with animals, incest, uncleanness, filth, sadism, masochism, frigidity, impotence, rape, filthy conversation, filthy dreams, pornography, homosexuality, cruelty, incubi, succubi, lasciviousness, lewdness, nudity, harlotry, promiscuity, flirting, prostitution and seduction. Come out, all the lust spirits, the sex spirits, move. Come out of the sex organs, come out of the lips, the tongue, the taste buds, out of the throat, move. Come on, come out in Jesus' name. Come out now, move, come on out. In Jesus' name, loose them.
This is the end of the CD.